Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Abdomen. There's any area that you may be holding tension in your body, know with the exhale you can release that tension. And in your deep breathing, know on the exhale you can exhale smiles. After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to visualize world healing, world peace. We include in our meditation the heads of government, that they truly make their decisions out of the context of life and love. As we continue to breathe deeply, lift your inner vision to the point between your eyebrows and bring your attention to the here and now, knowing that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. Right here and now, I realize that there truly is only one presence, one power. It is the fullness of unconditional love and creativity, divine wisdom and order. It truly is everywhere, omnipresent. Therefore, I am in it. I'm immersed in it. And it expresses in, through, and as me now. This morning I consciously realize that I can and that I am experiencing and expressing the awareness of who I really am at a deeper and newer level than ever before. Today being Father's Day, I acknowledge that having children expands our experience of the world into the world. I realize that I can also parent emotionally, mentally, and spiritually through my ideas, through concepts, through my thoughts, my vision, and my intentions. Whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, parenting is a means through which the infinite, in its fullness of wisdom and creativity and love, through which the infinite expresses itself into life. Today I fully cooperate with allowing this fullness of expression. I do this by a high intention and openness to create a new intimacy into me see. I do this by healing the past through no longer living only through the filters of my past. I am willing to hold the possibility of a world of conscious people who are aware, honest, and authentic. I'm thankful for conscious awareness. I'm thankful for the ability of conscious intention. I'm thankful for these realizations this morning of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person present here today and our extended family who are away. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. My topic this morning is new intimacy through healing the past. Some of you might say, well, how come we got a topic like that when our spiritual focus for June is what?
Joy
and enthusiasm, Debbie. Jenny Barton knows it. Joy and enthusiasm. Well, it's very appropriate because we're in a shift in consciousness on the planet. We're shifting in relationship of having our relationships only being about, from having our relationships only being about survival, security, continuation and promulgation of the species, to something new. Including that, but something new. Not only being that, but something new. And that is that our relationships be a space, an arena, for us to fully play in partnership to our fullness, so that we have a happier, more joyful, more enthusiastic, more enlivened life. Do you agree? Yes, that I'm for those kinds of relationships, not only to be about, you know, security, survival, like that. Okay, so we're going to look at several things here this morning. First of all, to realize that it is one of our basic needs to have closeness and intimacy. And before we can truly have that, and those of you who have been coming to the center know that we look at intimacy, breaking that word up, intimacy, intimacy. So when we look at that at a deeper level, that what absolutely has to go hand in hand with that is for us to dive deeply into looking at some core issues and core patterns that may be surfacing for us, so that we can really have and fulfill that need of openness and intimacy. And number two is that this requires a high degree of intentionality. Remember, I've been speaking about over a month now. It's not only about positive thinking, and that's good, but most of our thinking is a repetition of the 60 to 90,000 thoughts we had yesterday. This is about conscious intentionality on you. It's about new intimacy through healing the past, and it's about no longer looking at our future and our now through the filters of the past, because when we do that, it's like driving our vehicle looking in the rear view mirror. And you know, if we're going forward, that's not going to help us very much looking in the rear view mirror. It'll help us if we're only going backward. Do you get that? Okay, so new intimacy is very much about not looking only through the filters of the past. And then realizing that when we make that breakthrough, when we have that completion, when we look at these patterns, and conscious awareness is so a huge percent of the healing. And what we can feel, we can heal. When we do that, then we're operating at, we're living at a new level of joy and full self-expression and enthusiasm. And the root word to that is entheos. That's the God within. You see, so it is, we're immersed in God. God expresses through us. When we're truly living that joy-filled life, we're enthusiastic. And it doesn't have to look like us swinging from the chandeliers either. And it can. Okay. I want to truly acknowledge this book that has been one of my mainstay books over a period of years. I don't believe we have it on the table today, but if you wanted to order it, I'd certainly make sure that we have some next book order. Conscious Living, The Journey to Commitment. It's by Gay Hendricks and Kathleen Hendricks. Very, very profound book. They speak in there about co-commitment and co-creativity as a way of being in relationship. And they really acknowledge that this requires a great deal of courage, and it requires risk. Otherwise, it's like we keep doing the same thing. It's just like our thought patterns. We keep having the same from yesterday, etc. And that it requires a new set of skills, because we haven't had a lot of models that assist and support us in this new way of being in relationship, of co-commitment and co-creativity. The book is full of examples and exercises, but I particularly like their vulnerability in speaking about themselves. And Guy Hendricks, who's the male in this couple, he talks about his own life, and I thought it's so appropriate today because of being Father's Day. He says it like this. He was in his mid-20s. He's not there anymore, but this was a few years ago, and he had a big aha. And he realized that he was replaying his father's life. Mm-hmm. And then he's asked this question, how do I set it up in my life to have it be in this destructive way? Because he realized he was a very heavy smoker. He was obesely overweight. He was in an unloving relationship, and he was hiding his feelings. And he talks about that in the book. And he makes a statement, I didn't see it because I was so busy doing it. And I think sometimes we can all identify with that. We don't see it because we're so busy doing it. And then he said he entered into a place of self-awareness, of placing himself into self-development programs, went on a weight, I don't like to say weight loss, because whatever we lose, we look for, but weight release, like that. And a colleague of his around the same age scoffed at it, scoffed especially at his weight release program, and bought him a big box of chocolates after Guy had released 50 pounds. And he put down all the courses that Guy was taking, especially the ones that were for self-improvement, self-development, and knowing themselves. And 2 years later, at the age of 26, this colleague died. It really kind of shook Guy up. And it made me think of myself, my first marriage with my first husband. When I heard about what I would call now New Thought, but they were this kind of a setting and workshop and inner reflecting and enhancing your relationship with yourself, looking at patterns that no longer work. And I tried to, you know, bring him along and say, you know, would you attend this with me? And we went to an introductory night of one of the first courses that I ever took, which I ended up taking that particular course 7 times. And it wasn't because I was stupid. But I realized I had a lot of work to do, and I needed to hear it more than once. But when we were driving back from this first intro night of this course, like 27, 28 years ago, my first husband said to me, "Hun, All they want is your money. That was his excuse for not coming. And then everything they said was mostly BS. And then I'd been asking him to come to counseling with me for a number of years already, and again, the old excuse, we don't need that. You know, our life is just perfect the way it is. And a few years later, when we were divorced, a year after our divorce, he died at 36. Never been sick a day in his life before that. Very interesting. Very interesting. So it's not about us asking so much, are some old life patterns impinging on the present? Are they influencing our present? It's not to ask that, are they? It's asking and looking how. How are they? Because you can be sure that they are. When I look back at my first husband Alex's life, he was raised in a very dysfunctional family, as I was, but both of his parents were alcoholics. And my father was an alcoholic. So there was a lot of work that he could have done if he was willing to look and heal those parts of his life. And he was at a place in his life where he wasn't willing to do that. Unfortunate. You know, we've been through the industrial age. People are talking about that we're now in the information age, and we know that that's so just from internet. If that isn't a global brain, I don't know what is. We're in it. But there's a new calling. Marianne Williamson speaks very highly of it in her book, Healing of America. And she's talking about this awakening process that we need to enter into a global heart. You know, opening our heart. And part of that opening our heart with other people is first of all opening our heart with ourselves, being honest with ourselves. In the meditation I asked, or I made the statement, are we willing to have a world? Are we willing to be open to the possibility of having a world with people who are aware, of people who are honest? And I don't mean that they don't steal. I'm talking about self-honesty. Self-honesty first before we can be honest out there. Willing to have a world of people who openly communicate and who are authentic. Authentic. See, society promotes us to put up a good front. And that isn't truly living our life authentically. So I'm really here calling you about, you know, new intimacy through healing the past is bumping us up a bit to a new level of living our authentic life, each one of us individually in our own lives. So look to see if you're really willing to be that and do that. You know, it's something like a kaleidoscope. If we take a kaleidoscope and we look up at it at a light and it's got beautiful pattern there, all we have to do is turn it just a smidge so that all the little pieces just move a little bit. And it just takes a little turn, a little twist, for a whole new pattern to show up, a whole new image to show up. And it's like that too. So sometimes we can have a shift, it may be big or small. We can do just an exercise. We can have an aha. We can listen to that song like Carol Ann sang and, you know, start thinking about our families, us as mother, father, how we are in our family, and just have a little shift, and it can change our life. That's what new thought is about. It's having that new thought about ourselves and our world. It's about telling the microscopic truth. There was an example in the book Conscious Loving of a man and woman where she was willing to tell the microscopic truth at another level. And one day she just said to her, I think it was her husband, and she said, I don't know what's going on for me, but lately when I'm with you or talking with you, I have pains in my stomach. And he said he was willing to tell a deeper truth, a deeper microscopic truth. And he said, that's because I haven't been telling you the truth. And they went on to discuss and talk about what was going on for him and their relationship. That takes courage. That takes commitment. That takes a willingness to be a co-creator in our relationships. It takes risk. There was another example. This was a woman who had been, in her childhood, been sexually abused by her father. And what she realized, she didn't realize it at the beginning, but what she realized later on was as she got into relationships with her boyfriends, as she got closer, the closer they got in relationship, the more she started to withdraw. Was interesting. So one of them, and it might have been her husband in this instance, made the inquiry, and she denied, pulled back, and then as she denied and pulled back and withdrew and didn't tell the truth about it, he got mad. So therefore her pattern began to be, I can't tell him about myself because he'll get mad. I think we all have examples of that in our life. Not exactly the same way, but it's like something maybe that we're doing by root, by just automatic. We haven't really observed it or looked at it. And then it triggers a reaction response in somebody else. And then we don't like that response, so therefore we say, we can't do this because of them. Or share or tell the truth or be a certain way because of, you know, out there. So this takes deep, you know, inner reflection. So what he did was he noticed that he was willing to tell a deeper truth himself, and he realized that when he was having interactions like this with her, he realized and started to tell the truth that he was holding his breath. That's a good key. When we start breathing up here, almost hyperventilating or holding our breath. So he started to tell the truth about that, and he realized that he was holding his muscles tense. Another key. He communicated that. She shifted from he's angry to he's afraid. There's fear there, as there's fear over here. A whole new flavor to the relationship started to happen when they were willing to be honest with themselves and then honest out there. He released his tense posture. He breathed more deeply. She began to share about her young life. He put his hand on her shoulder and acknowledged that he was there for her and squeezed her and listened. She realized that she was afraid to share her feelings because she was afraid of being punished. And that went back to way back when, with her mother, father, and the sexual abuse, she was afraid to talk about it or share it with the family because she was afraid that she was at fault and that she would be punished. Ah. I can relate real well to that one. My mom and dad died when I was 16 and 19, none of them knowing that I had been sexually molested by an older cousin who was like an uncle to me. I was afraid to tell them. How much more so would my life have been of joy and enthusiasm and supportive, loving, healthy relationship if I had known about, you know, self-reflection, speaking the truth, trusting someone that I could share with. Again, takes courage, commitment. So the key that I want to say here is when we're speaking about this, it's this flavor. After this, going back to this example, after the deep insights, there was sadness, there was grief, there was sharing. He expressed her love to her, and what it got down to, it was like this: will you love me even though, even this, knowing, will you love me knowing even this about me? So I invite us to look in our life. Do we have relationships where we know that they love us even knowing this about us? I'm not saying stand up there and tell the whole world, but I mean for us to have some key relationships where we can be that honest, that open, that vulnerable, that telling the truth, and that authentic. Because the more we have that, the more we are able, willing, and have the impetus to truly live the life that we were meant to live. And that is a life of happiness and joy and full self-expression. And that doesn't mean that we don't have problems. We actually have that energy to move through those problems at a greater degree than ever before. Because we've taken that. You know what I'm speaking about. I know that each and every one of you have had some instance of that where you knew something had to be handled or done or said, and it was like, notice your energy when you're not handling it, when you're running away from it, when you're withdrawing, when you're numbing it out. Oh, and there's a new kind of numb out now. It has to do with the global brain. It's sitting in front of the internet for hours at a time and being addicted to it. And I'm not saying the internet isn't great, but there's a new addiction. I'm speaking to somebody that got an email. In Edmonton, we got an email. We were speaking to somebody who got an email from one of her cousins that she hadn't spoken to in a long time, and that was her biggest main concern. Her and her husband had split up for a while. They're back together, but he's back into the old pattern. He's spending 6 hours a day in the internet, plus working 8 hours a day. How much time is there left for relationship? He's got a good relationship with his computer. That's not going to hold his hand if he's ever in the hospital. Oh, my. Okay. I put something on the board I want to share with you very quickly. It's for us to look in our life. This is a process. It's in the book. It's called a trauma process. Look at any event that was traumatic in your life. Any event that was traumatic. Remember the feeling or emotion that you had back then. And this is key. Was there a decision that you made here? Because of the event and the emotion, you made a decision. And given that decision, how does that decision affect my life now? And if we realize that there's something going on there, and we can't seem to work through it on our own, I invite you to get some assistance. I invite you to do that. I want to give you a personal example. Years ago, when I took a course called the 6-Day Course, I went there because I knew that there were some things in my life that were running me, but I wasn't clear on all of them. But one of the things that I was very clear on at that time was that there was emotion around the automobile collision that nearly killed me. And I wanted to release that. So I went there and did that. But the course was 6 days. There was a lot more to that course. One of the great exercises in there was getting in touch with a traumatic event or incident, our feelings, our decisions, and how it affects my life now. So one of the things that I looked at was when I was sexually abused. How I felt. Frightened, terrified, and I numbed out. I pretended I was asleep. What's the decision I made? I didn't trust men. And I was real good at that, and I could cover that up real good too. How it affected my life then? Hey, I had lots of friends, and I had lots of women friends, and I seemed to have lots of men friends. But I didn't trust any of them. There was just a way, that place where I would go, and then no more. You know what I'm saying? It's like I wouldn't share myself, wouldn't be vulnerable, wouldn't tell the whole truth, microscopic truth, wouldn't be my authentic self. So what this powerful workshop did was allowed me to get in touch with, underneath this emotion of fear, was, what do you think? Absolute anger and rage. And I was privileged enough to work this through with the facilitator. And I could see why I was so afraid to do this kind of work. Because I was afraid of my own rage. I was afraid that if I got in touch with how angry I was, that I would kill somebody. I backed that sucker right up against the wall because he asked me to place my cousin in him. New person came out that day. But you know what? That person was my authentic self also. A part of myself that I wasn't willing to allow anybody to see. So do you think that I could fully love myself, all of me, even that? That too? Until I got in touch with that? And interestingly enough, when I got in touch with that, did that process, it seemed like my world changed. That as a result of that, many years ago, I now can absolutely say I have women friends and men friends that I trust absolutely, that I would trust and have with my life. So I invite you, if there's anything in your life that you really need to look at, you may need some assistance. Somebody phoned me a while ago and said, you know, I may not be around for a while. I'm placing myself into heavy therapy. And what I said to this person was, thank you. Thank you. I'm not saying that everybody needs heavy therapy, but some people do. And it doesn't have to be for a long time, and it may be. And it may be for a short time. But if you need that assistance, it's there for us. And it's about new intimacy through healing the past. Healing the past, okay? So the last part here is like for us to really realize that the universe supports us absolutely. That if we haven't completed something, it will keep bringing it back to us. There's a few nods in the room. You know, if we're not complete with our parents, we'll keep having the same pattern with them, and even if they're dead, we'll keep having that same pattern with other people, only their names are different. You know? So, it's like, heal that. Heal the past, whatever it is in the past. Look at it, explore it, dive deeply into there. Don't build a condo there and live there for the rest of your life. But we need to look at these things. Because on the other side of that is new intimacy. See? And what happens when we allow that? on the other side of that is a new expression of joy and enthusiasm and aliveness. Aliveness. You know, sometimes people say to me, and I got a lot of acknowledgement last weekend when I was participating at another center, and then I led a workshop for them. And I invariably heard several times people say, "I love your aliveness." Man, you should have seen me before I was 30 years old. Good actress. Not an authentic self. Not telling the truth. Not the person you see standing here. So I'm here to tell you that this center is here for you, to support you through that. I'm here for you to support you through that. I may not be the one being the therapist for you, but it's to have a family, a place, a community where you can come and be supported, where you can come and get emotional singing, and that's okay. That if you need to blow your nose in the middle of a talk, that's okay. That if you're crying because of something I'm saying to you, that somebody's there to put their hand on you and know that they're there for you. ANS is also a place for celebration and for joy and for whooping it up, right? Yes, it is. And I'm proud of that. And I took your consciousness within me, and part of you is part of me now, and that's what I give to other people when I'm visiting at other centers. So they know we've got a great place here. You know why? Because I'm in good shape. I'm not talking about my figure now. You know, like, I really hope you hear that. That who I am is because of who I am, and it's because of you. And who you are is because of who you are and because of the people in your life. So I sense that you get all that. God presence within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.